Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office supplies at huge savings?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It's 1:33 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you on Oilers Now. I will get to some of your texts. We had a heavy phone session. We don't do a lot calls in the show, maybe once a week, but there's a lot of really good texts that have come in. Some that I don't think are that good, but raise some interesting points. So we'll get to that after we head off to the River Cree Resort Casino, where we are pleased to be joined on the line by our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. We welcome back to the show the head coach of the Bakersfield Condors, Jay Woodcroft. Hello, Jay. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Bob. Thank you for having me on today.
You are you're a good guy. Let me tell you, you're a good guy. You know what? The Oilers have elected to go with 43 NHL contracts, of which really they only have 40 because, Oscar Klefbom's contract counts. You've got two guys, so he's obviously likely retired at this stage and on LTIR, and both Josh Archibald and the netminder that you guys had in San Jose for a while, Stalock, are on LTIR as well with the myocarditis. So down to 40, and currently you've probably got maybe 11 guys or 12 guys on NHL contracts on your farm team. You had a whole bunch of canceled games. I know you got Ontario coming in this week, but you did get you finally got a game in on Sunday night or Saturday night. Little bit depleted with a lot of guys in AHL deals, a 3-2 shootout loss. But was there a sort of a moral victory in the process and picking up a point in that game against the star-studded Ontario squad?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was just nice to get back to playing hockey again and trying to get into some sort of a rhythm. I think it was our second game played in 18 days. And in the midst of that, like you said, it seems like there's been a variety of games canceled for a whole bunch of different reasons. We've had a natural disaster with the flooding up in British Columbia that canceled a couple of games in Abbotsford. We had an ice plant failure just after Thanksgiving in Ontario, California. And then we've had to deal with some protocol issues regarding COVID over the last little while, and we're not out of that woods yet either. So just to get back to playing a hockey game and worrying about that on Saturday night was, welcome from everybody here. And like you said, obviously we've had a couple players go into the COVID protocol for sure, but and there's some people that are up in Edmonton as they're dealing with their injuries and whatnot. But I thought it was a good opportunity on the weekend for some of our younger players to take on a little bit more ice time, take on a little bit more responsibility. And I was proud of the group that played that night. We played a hard game versus a hard team. The game could have went either way, and we lost the skills competition in the shootout. But I was proud of the way the team pushed and battled and worked for each other.
Jay, we'll educate the – I found the game. So you only had 7 NHL contracted players in your lineup amongst your 18 skaters. So you had 11 guys on AHL.
You know what?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's that's the American Hockey League, and we're proud of the people that are that have gone up the food chain and are giving the big club good minutes up top for sure. And as we deal with those guys going up and deal with some of our own issues down here in terms of COVID protocol and little bumps and bruise injuries as well, it's an opportunity for us to really learn about what we have in our depth. And, some people are really seizing those opportunities and showing us what they have. And it's an opportunity for the team to grow. And, you know, when you look at the overall story of the season, it would, you know, I think for you to get to where you want to go, there has to be some drama and some adversity. And right now, that's what we're dealing with, is trying to get back into a rhythm of, playing 3 or 4 games a week and playing as well as we can with as healthy a lineup as we can. So that's our challenge. But like I said, the guys that are here are giving us everything they have. They're working for each other. And that's a sign of a good team.
Jay, you said last Tuesday, because we had you on Tuesday last week, the day that Niemelainen was recalled, you said he has something that we don't have a lot of in the organization. We've already seen that here. To the point where I got to tell you, there are people that I trust in this game that are like, not so fast that it's an automatic that when the Oilers get completely healthy, does Niemelainen go back down because of the physical impetus? He had 12 hits in his first 2 games. He absolutely crushed Ryan Donato in Seattle on Friday. He train wrecked Dustin Brown last night. Dustin Brown's a thick, hard guy with some speed. Has he been playing like that for you guys over the last couple seasons as well?
Yeah, I can't say enough about Marcus Niemelainen. I think he's kind of skated a little bit under the radar. Last year was his first full NHL training camp where, you know, he was competing to play with the big club and had an opportunity to be a professional hockey player within the Oilers organization. That was his first opportunity last year. I think that training camp opened his eyes to the level required to play at that level. He needed to go through that. He came down to us and, he made an immediate impression with his dimensional size. He's 6'6". He skates very well for a big man. He contests lines. He doesn't just sag in and allow the other team easy entries into the zone, so to speak. He contests lines, and when he hits to hurt in a good way, in a legal way. But he plays the game hard, and like I told you last week, he is a dimension that is hard to come by. But he's different than any other defenseman we currently have, certainly down here in Bakersfield, just based on that physicality. And, it's a credit to him. He's put in a lot of hard work. I think he's a quiet person by nature, but he's a serious professional hockey player. He's a kid with great character, and we're all very proud of him and how he showed in his first try in the NHL here over the last week or so.
So, Jay, when we looked at the left shot defense prospects and we kind of slotted a guy like Lagesson sort of in that, number 8 defenseman hole, when you took a look at what Edmonton had on the left side, Nurse, Keith, Cuckoo and Russell, and we thought to ourselves, all right, well, maybe Lagesson's the fifth left D right now because the Oilers have got Broberg and Sam Marukov and maybe Niemelainen coming. And, Broberg has not disappointed. He can skate, but he needs more time, that's clear. I'm not sure you're necessarily going to get Niemelainen back because, when you're playing Nurse and Keith, once Duncan gets healthy, 45 minutes a game, you can maybe play a guy like Niemelainen who brings you a different dimension. Let's switch over to Sam Marukov. How's he? Sometimes when guys get, I was told, who was playing better down in the minors when Lagesson got recalled? Like, was Niemelainen right there with Lagesson, in your opinion?
Well, I think at that time when Broberg and Lagge got recalled to the NHL, I think our D-Cor as a whole was playing well, and it was, who went up to fill the holes with the injuries up top. I don't think there was a bad choice among them. They're all good hockey players. They all bring different things to the table. In terms of, you're asking about Sam Rukov's start to his year. Sammy is someone who missed a lot of hockey with a serious injury last year. Had a surgery to repair some things. He put in a lot of hard work over the summertime. He's somebody who was very excited and on his toes to have a great start to the year, and he ended up getting hurt on his first shift in that rookie game with another serious injury, and that one was to his jaw. So he's missed a good amount of time. He is someone that has come back in the lineup since basically the end of October, early November, and he's working his way back into things. I think his last two games have, especially when we've needed him with all the recalls to the Oilers, is that he's elevated over the last two games. He's working at it. We're staying positive with him. I think he's positive about his trajectory, and he's earnest in trying to be the best pro that he can be every day. But like you said, it's a good issue to have when you have so many good players to pick from. And like I said, for Broberg to go up and show well, for Lagge to go up and do well, and now Nemo to go up and do well, it's a credit to the work that those guys put in to make sure they were ready when they got the tap on the shoulder. And, you know, I think that bodes well for the organization moving forward.
And, Jay, just during the course of you saying that, in the last 2 minutes we've received two texts that have come in, and they both said the same thing. It's also credit to the coaches and the work that they've done, including Dave Manson and you down in the minors. All right, on the right side, you got three NHL contracted defensemen, Kemp, along with Berglund, coming over from Sweden, and Kesselin, who is out this week. But I actually want to ask you about a guy in an AHL deal, Vincent Desharnais. You mentioned that Niemelainen's got an intangible that maybe some of the other D don't. Is there any chance Desharnais is a guy that can get himself an NHL contract if he plays with a little bit more physical impetus?
Yeah, I think he is. Vincent is somebody who is it's a great story for our organization. First of all, he's an NHL drafted player by the Edmonton Oilers, so he's a good find for the organization. Coming out of Providence, he didn't sign an NHL contract. He signed a two-way ECHL American Hockey League deal, and then he earned himself into a full-time two-year American Hockey League deal that he signed just recently, and he's on year one of that. And I think it speaks to having a long-term plan for a prospect, that it doesn't all just have to happen within the first 3 months of that player turning professional or anything like that. It's a process. And for a big man like Vincent Desharnais, who's 6'7", he's growing into his body, he's figuring out what he can and can't do on the ice surface. He's playing the game at a professional speed rather than a college speed. I think we've seen real good development. Last year was a major step forward for him. This year we're asking him to do a lot with some of the injuries that have been happening up top, and we're moving guys up. So he's playing big minutes down here. I think, and when I think of Vincent Desharnais, I think of somebody who has dimensional size, who is a very good penalty killer, who drives the other teams nuts because he always seems to get a piece of somebody. I think he's someone that certainly, if he continues to improve, he should be on the radar as a potential player that's exciting for this organization, and someone that could maybe one day play in the National Hockey League. He's got a lot of work to do, but he's a good kid. He's coachable, but he does have potential, that's for sure.
Well, you can't coach size. And, you look at the long-term prognosis for the team, 6'4", Darnell Nurse, 6'4", Philip Broberg, 6'3", Evan Bouchard, Niemelainen at 6'5". And it would be intriguing if Desharnais could be a third pairing right shot D at 6'7". That's a big defense, and you've got a big defense down there in the minors. I want to ask you about a big forward, but a guy who's not gotten off to a good start. He came over last year from Sweden, had 5 goals, 10 points in 19 games for you, and that's Raphaël Lavoie. He's not scored on 30 shots this year. Had 8 shots on goal the other night, so he hasn't got a goal in 15 games. He was a goal scorer in the Quebec League. Is this, you know, he had some success last year, Jay. In stretches, has the season surprised him a bit? What's going on with Lavoie right now?
Yeah, I think Raph is learning how good the American Hockey League is and how the transition into being a productive American Hockey League player requires a ton of work. It requires a ton of stick-to-itiveness, and it requires the ability to score at this level requires being sharp when you do get those chances. And for Raph, I think when you look at his year last year, obviously he started in Sweden in the Allsvenskan League and then came over to us. When he came over to us, he had some pretty early success and then went a long stretch without scoring a goal and then kind of got it back on the rails as the team headed into the playoff rounds. And, you know, that was a good experience heading into the summertime and whatnot. For Raph, I don't think his NHL training camp would have been to script for him. I think he would have wanted more out of that. He came down to Bakersfield, and he's been given a good opportunity here. But, you know, he's got to learn to push through and persevere in order to score at this level. And for us, the tact we're taking with him is a positive one. We're working through a whole bunch of different ways to try and draw that goal-scoring ability out. He spends a lot of time in the film room. He does a lot of work before practice, working on his skills and rehearsing moments to try and put him in positions that he finds himself in games. I think last game with 8 shots on net was a positive sign for him. He's had numerous high-grade scoring chances in the red zone that just haven't gone in for him. Now the trick is to make sure that you continue to put yourself in those positions and then just you got to find a way to get one, and we think when one goes in for him, hopefully that opens the floodgates. But certainly with the way that we're dealing with some adversity down here, we do need to unlock that scoring potential because we need those goals. And we're working diligently with him. He's working, and we're hoping to get a little bit more offense as we head into the second third of our season here.
Jake, much appreciated. Always love talking with you. Thanks for joining us on Oilers Now.
Okay, Bob. Have a good day.
That's Jay Woodcroft, head coach, Bakersfield Condors. You already know that cars cost less than Wetaskiwin, but did you know that Brentridge Ford and Wetaskiwin are 10-time President's Award winners for customer satisfaction? What does that mean? It means treating people fairly, fully transparent negotiations, and making sure advertised prices include all accessories, fees, and taxes, with the exception of GST. If these attributes are important to you, phone our friends Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang. 1-877-477-3673 or visit...
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Brentridge.com. When we come back, we'll get to this day in Oilers history. At 1:50 in Edmonton, you're listening to Oilers Now.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
I mean, I don't want to talk too much about any, you know, reffing or anything like that. Obviously, the, you know, I think the call was the call, and, you know, that's the way it goes. You know, obviously, they call it how they see it, and, you know, it's good that they have a chance to review it on the ice now, and obviously, they stuck by their decision, and that's the way it is.
That's Connor McDavid today after the optional, talking to the media down at Rogers Place. McDavid and the Oilers against the Minnesota Wild, who will not have Jared Spurgeon, the Edmontonian, in the lineup. He got a hat trick the last time the two teams played. McDavid was out of the lineup for that game. That was 1920 when Leon Draisaitl was on a major heater and was tremendous that night. Royal Pizza, pizza, pasta, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. For a menu and a list of their 14 Edmonton and area locations, go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The Stauffer recommendation at Royal Pizza is the Mediterranean chicken. As we go to list Dane Oilers history for New West Travel, looking for a great Oilers road trip, you can fly nonstop to Nashville. Flair Airlines to watch the Oilers play for only $1,750 in April. Call New West Travel or go online at newwesttravel.com. Here is Brendan Escott.
And back we go to 2006 when Craig McTavish led the Oilers, or yeah, he was the coach at the time. He got goals from Brad Winchester, Jason Smith, and Fernando Pisani in a 3-1 win over the Carolina Hurricanes. Of course, the team that they fell in the Stanley Cup final to earlier in that same calendar year. This was the only meeting of the season between the teams in their first regular season matchup in 3 years.
The Dane Oilers history brought to you by New West Travel. Looking for a great road trip? Fly nonstop with Nashville with Flair Airlines to see the Oilers play the Preds for only $1,750. Reach New West Travel at newwesttravel.com. All right, let's get to some texts as promised on our Ashley Fine Floors text line. Bob, isn't it funny how Warren Fogle led the league in drawing penalties for so long until he joins Connor and the Oilers? What gives, I wonder? Scratch his head. The integrity of the BS has to be called out way more consistently and loudly by the Oilers media, especially. Well, I will tell you that if you call out the officials on a regular basis, you have people screaming at you being a homer. In fact, there's a media guy in town that used to drink with the referees and always took the referees' side in every conversation. So I just think McDavid's a different beast. And I do think that we've raised a generation of officials that believe their job is to manage and not officiate. Whatever. Bob, love Woodcroft on Mondays. Such a great coach. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Bob, also, he wants to add, talk about Derek Ryan. Why is he on this team? The team is +9 when he's off the ice, -13 when he is on the ice. See any problems here? Well, again, I had somebody break it down independent. Mistakes on 4 of the 13 goals against that you're referencing. Again, you can text us 780-496-0063. Haji says, Bob, the bottom six getting caved in is certainly an issue, but the lack of any physicality from the bottom six is a bigger issue. If a team is going to ice the bottom six that's not pushing the play offensively, they better have a defensive prowess and some truculence. Up until Niemelainen's call-up, Connor was one of the Oilers' leader in hits. It drives me crazy watching the Oilers' bottom six forwards turn away from finishing their check in the offensive zone, which leads to breakout and extended possession time in the Oilers' D zone. Holland needs to further restructure the fourth line, as the scorers he's employed are not scoring, not defending, and certainly not hitting, from Haji. Again, as it stands right now, by March, I think you'll see three different bottom six forwards. One of those guys would be Shore. So two other additions. One might be Holloway, and probably a trade. Long shot is the potential of an Archibald return. Tonight, Reed Wilkins has Inside Sports from 6 to 8. Brendan Escott.
Yeah, you're going to hear from obviously cataclysmic changes on the West Coast. So,
wow.
Matt Sakaris from the Sakaris and Price podcast in Vancouver will check in on the Canucks, and Winnipeg Blue Bombers color analyst on CJOB, Doug Brown.
You know, it's interesting. Sakaris and Price, Matt, those guys have a good show. Their numbers were climbing back up again in that Vancouver market. Expensive format to run. Brendan Batchelor, who does the Canucks play-by-play, I listened to a snippet of him on Saturday. He's a good caller, no question about it. Sportsnet's Mark Spector for the horses in Horse Racing Alberta. The 7,000 men and women employed in Alberta's horse racing and breeding industry will join us on the Tuesday edition of Oilers Now. We'll have a full preview of Edmonton and Minnesota. It's going to be a tough one. The Wild are good. Up next, a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3, then the 6:30 chat afternoons with Jayla Nine from 3 to 6 tonight. Special thanks to all of you who were courteous enough to text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line and jump aboard the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. Have a magnificent Monday, everybody, and I'll join you tomorrow from Rogers Place.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 6:30 Chad.